We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. I've just been alerted to this. This is political. Donald Trump has announced he will reduce drug prices 1,400%.
Fantastic news. Wait a minute. How much?
What?
1,400% reduction in drug prices.
So they're going to finally pay me to take these drugs?
Yes.
As Lord knows I'm on enough of them.
Merck will give you $20 to take this.
Oh, Biggie, you're out of debt.
I get now I just get texts from the pharmacy all the time. It's like, you want us to refill this? I know you do. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe now Johnson & Johnson will say, here, take $100 and here's some pills. That's great. That's great news for you. This is going to happen.
The only pills that I still have trouble getting is any type of pain pills for my knee.
You still can't get those well?
Well, it still takes forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have that's the most tightly controlled group. Mm-hmm.
But they really make you feel like, you know, are you in pain? Huh? Prove it! I mean, they really make you work to get a small amount of them.
The go-go 90s ruined everything in 2000s.
That's true. That's
still
really true.
You hear these things where people are like, I just got prescribed 500 Oxy. And I'm like, how? You know,
that's my question.
I have back pain.
But I'm on like the lowest of the low pain meds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm only given a certain amount per every 2 weeks. If I try to fill it ahead of time, it's like, nope.
Are you taking, now, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, Biggie. Are you taking prescription pain meds every day?
Yes.
And you're saying they're more difficult. I do think it's because of the go-go 90s.
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
They were just like, they were like Tic Tacs back then.
Everybody knew the doctor who would write your prescription if you say my back hurts.
Yeah,
oh, here you go.
Yeah, and it was Oxy. I mean, it was Oxy. A lot of Oxy.
I'm not even on anything that powerful. I'm on the lowest like scheduled. I guess they consider a scheduled narcotic.
Yeah,
and it said what I love is they give you the bottle and say, you know, take them as you need every 4 to 6 hours. Well, that's a lie. Because I'm only given 28, and basically I can't refill them for 2 weeks. So I have to plan. I take one before I come to work, and I take one when I get before I go to bed.
And do you find it helps noticeably?
I thought it wasn't doing anything until I quit taking them for about 5 days, and then I noticed. I said, okay, it's doing a little something. It's making things more bearable.
That's how I am on my allergy meds.
There you go.
Sorry. Oh boy. Sorry. That was like when I say I'm addicted to Diet Coke after talking to a guy who's gotten off heroin.
Yeah, you know? A literal heroin addict.
Yeah. I take Zyrtec.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You poor man.
And if I don't, I'll sneeze.
Y'all hear it. You see it.
You've seen it. Yeah. I'll sneeze 2 or 3 times in a row if I don't take my Zyrtec. Sorry, you're on Oxy.
Yeah.
Sorry about your pain, but I have the sniffles.
Exactly.
My eyes water occasionally.
Oh, man.
Well, that's why sometimes I don't take it now unless I really think I need one.
Mm-hmm.
And because I try not to take them on weekends because I'm like, I don't
want
to use them in case, because anytime I need them, it becomes another problem.
Yeah. He's not going out dancing.
Yeah.
That's right. You sit at home and try to just ice and rest your knee on that.
I can drag my leg around on a weekend in pain.
I'm proud of you for doing it.
I'm still doing my eye drops. I'm 7 drops a day, and my eye still is red as the devil's dick. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, hideous. I mean, I always think that, but they're hideously red.
I don't see it.
I mean, I was going to say, I don't notice
it. You don't see it?
I mean, a little if I look at it.
Here, look at me right now. Okay, he's right.
I try never to make eye contact with anyone.
Exactly.
That's my thing. I always look down.
Look away.
Now that you mentioned it. That's red as a devil's dick, he says. And he's right.
He's right.
Even the devil chuckled at that. He's right.
All right. They might remember that joke down the line.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know. We're the Ian Baker Finch of radio. When we go, that'll be it. Update, Furburger has accepted my apology. So
good.
Furburger says all is well. I'm allowed to play in his circle when he comes back.
You're back on the good side.
When he comes back to town. Exactly. Here's the retail roundup. There's a guy in Vermont who is going from town to town refurbishing payphones. He will go.
Okay.
He's getting a lot of accolades for this.
From whom?
Well, his name is Patrick Schlott. He's an engineer. And he will go get a payphone that is dilapidated and on a street corner somewhere that they're getting rid of.
When do you see him?
Yeah.
He says that they have gotten rid of almost all of them, but he goes to, I don't even know where he gets them.
And we don't live in a big city, but there's not a single one here.
Not anymore.
There's not one one payphone anymore.
You think there's one at the courthouse still?
You know, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I miss them. I miss a good
smell.
I miss it.
That's just your fear of death.
Yeah.
Manifesting itself in the ways of your youth gone.
No one misses payphones. I mean, frankly,
no one.
The one thing that we've done right as human beings is the cell phone. It has made things way more convenient.
Yeah, but it comes along with a lot of issues.
Well, there's baggage.
I'm talking about just as far as the phone itself. Having a phone available to you all the time, we've done right. I'm not talking now we've gone into App City and everything else.
But don't you remember the guy, you know, when you'd go in there and put your finger in the slot.
See if somebody left a quarter.
See if you get a quarter.
Or a dime.
Get you a drink, you know.
I remember when payphones cost 10 cents.
A dime. You know, that there's songs that have.
Yeah,
you know,
it was always a quarter for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the songs changed.
Yeah, they went from a dime to a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you, now, of course, I was of the AIDS generation, so there was a rumor.
Oh, yeah, AIDS, putting your finger in the slot.
If you stick your finger in the slot,
there's a needle. Congratulations.
Somebody's planted a needle in there. Poke.
You got AIDS needled.
You know that story, Biggie?
No.
You never heard that?
When I was a youth, when payphones were
when they were banks everywhere. Of them.
Yeah. And listen, when I went to the Coliseum once to the first round of the NCAA tournament, and there was a bank of payphones, like 20 payphones, and I thought, I'm in the big city. It's big city.
I have arrived.
I finally arrived.
Mama, I made it.
I'm from Ashburn, North Carolina.
Tonight, we phone like kings.
You've never seen so many phones in a row.
I couldn't believe it. It's like, this is big city.
Yeah.
This is big time. Mm-hmm. Now. I was scared of it.
Did the late Greg Gumbel warn you? No, don't stick your finger in there.
Huh? Yeah, because the rumor was when I was a teenager, because everybody, you'd stick your finger into every payphone you came to, hoping somebody left a quarter in there and you could buy a Coca-Cola out of the machine that was right next to it, you know? But no, if you stuck your finger in the payphone slot where the change came out, ne'er-do-wells with AIDS would take their own blood and put their syringe in there and you'd be stuck with AIDS needle and suddenly you'd have AIDS. And there may be a note then below the needle where if you looked in there and say, congratulations, you've got AIDS.
Welcome. I mean,
that was a really, really bad time.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody ever got AIDS from a payphone.
I believe anyone ever contracted it.
Not from a payphone. I don't think
so. Not from a needle in a phone.
But this guy lives in Vermont. His name is Patrick Schlott. He is an engineer, and he gets any payphone he can get his hands on because Vermont has really spotty cell phone connections. So what he does is he refurbishes the payphone. He puts in, he has a device that makes them get Wi-Fi. So, I don't know, it's like a hotspot it becomes. So the calls are free. And then he donates them to libraries, schools that have spotty cell phone.
Who owns these machines that he's...
He owns them. He buys them.
Okay.
And he donates them. And it's out of his own pocket. So the cell phone, or rather the payphone call is free. And there's one particular library where there is no cell phone reception, and it gets used more than any other. And he says it gets about 200 calls a month on it. The kids call their parents and say, okay, come pick me up, which is really interesting.
How do the kids have to know their
number? They have to know their number. They have to
remember a phone number.
They've written down their parents' cell phone numbers, or I guess maybe a landline at home, and they call them to come pick them up, and that one still gets used 200 times per month. Chad, you're talking about pay phones. Go ahead.
Yeah, the last payphone I remember using was around 2008, and it was on the Amtrak from Kannapolis to Raleigh, and there was a chemical spill, so I had to call up my ride and tell them to be there later. And I walked in there and closed the door, and somebody had farted in there.
That's another yeah. downside to the payphone.
Yeah, they used to have phone booths with closing doors.
Yeah, so
you'd have privacy.
My dad would be like, where's the phone booth? Remember in the movie Rain Man, Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman are in there together, and Dustin Hoffman passes gas.
So
they're in the phone booth.
Isn't there a moment in one of the Superman movies, and I can't remember which one, Biggie might know, but you know, in the old comic book, Superman would change from Clark Kent into Superman in a phone booth.
In the phone booth.
And I think he looks at a modern, one of the Supermen.
Ah.
Looks at a modern phone booth that doesn't have, it's an enclosure, and he goes, well, that's not going to work.
I can't do it.
Then he like rushes into a stairwell or something. I can't remember where he changed.
Now, what's he doing in the new movie? Unless he goes to Vermont, he doesn't have any chance.
Don't know how he changes in the new movie.
Clothing. This is the guy who refurbishes the payphones along with the man who runs the library where the most active one is.
The phone thing kind of came along by accident. Found an old piece of phone equipment in the garage. Partially inspired by other projects that were doing exactly the same thing, putting payphones out in public spaces and making them free. But it was also driven by living in rural Vermont for a period of time and knowing that, wow, we have no cell service out here.
Everyone's pretty surprised, and they're like, is that a real payphone? Does that really work? And I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't cost any money now. We have had people use it that broke down. It's a great thing because, you know, service is so spotty in Vermont.
So if you were to look at one of those maps, Verizon, T-Mobile, where they flaunt how amazing their coverage is Vermont blank?
It must be the one, the rural parts, I guess, have the least coverage. Isn't that crazy?
In this day and age, why are they not putting up cell phone towers day and night?
I know. They really should be.
The fact that you can't get a signal,
I know,
it baffles me. Yes, it's a first world problem. Yeah. I know.
You know how,
but it's not new. The technology isn't new.
My wife is so into true crime, as you know, and I just watched a really good one. Now, she was watching it, and it's...
You got sucked in.
I got sucked in. This is probably 10 or 15 years ago. A woman was abducted while she was hiking, like near the Appalachian Trail. In fact, she may have been on the Appalachian Trail, and she was just abducted by a crazy person, and it was an awful story. But the aftermath of it is they've started putting way more cell phone towers, even in rural areas like that, because they can ping.
That's where people are.
They can ping where you are, and people are out there, exactly. By the way, this guy, there are each phone that he's put up, and he's done like quite a few, costs $10 a month in administration fees, and he pays that. Nobody ever has to pay a dime. He's like, I'm paying it forward. I have enough money that I can pay this. And if you dial zero for the operator, it goes to his cell phone.
This is getting weirder.
So, it kind of is.
So he'll help you out. He's like, operator. And it,
yeah, what time is the next showing of Superman?
This is getting a little odd now.
Hang on.
I can provide that information if you provide your bus size.
Rosebud, you're talking about cell phone and cell phone service. Go ahead.
Morning, yes, sir. Cell phone companies, from what I understand, are not incentivized to put up new towers because they enabled Wi-Fi calling. So I live in an area that has bad cell service, but I have great cell service at my house because my phone connects to my household Wi-Fi.
Ah.
So if a cell phone company doesn't have to put up a tower, and I can still make phone calls from my home, where's the incentive for them to make their, you know, their blanket of coverage better?
Well, I guess, but they brag about their blanket of coverage. You know, T-Mobile now says they have the best over all the others, Verizon. Isn't that?
Well, they used to. That's not the focus of their ads now. It's like, we'll give you a free phone.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, everything's free phones now.
But does Verizon?
But when you need your phone, I don't need my phone in my house most of the time. I need it when I'm traveling.
Right. Yeah, that's right. When you're out on the road.
When you're traveling and you can't get a signal, it's maddening. I mean, I have no problem making phone calls at my house.
Right.
Like Rosebud.
But you rarely do it, really.
Yeah.
Mostly it's text now. Thank you, Rosebud. Appreciate it. I'm so dense, I didn't realize for a long time. You were the one that told me they were disguising those cell phone towers as giant trees. I didn't know that.
That's a sad chapter.
I'm embarrassed by
for
that.
For you.
Yes. It's embarrassing. One day I said, there's
you see that new pine tree? Behind our house?
It's huge.
Your old house.
Yeah. It's like, there's an enormous pine tree.
It's twice as high as everything else.
And it never sheds leaves or needles. And Chris was like, that's a cell phone tower, man.
Bruh.
That is being made to look like. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked they were doing that. Coleslaw, you're talking about the cell towers in Vermont specifically, where the guy's doing the payphones. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, man. How y'all doing? P1 from day one.
Great.
Hey, look, man. I lived in rural Vermont for 7 years in Mount Holly, Vermont, Belmont, Vermont, right on the backside of Okemo Mountain, in between Okemo and Stratford Mountain. Up there, and the reason why they don't have I didn't have no cell phone, so I had to drive 32 miles before I could use my cell phone, and I had to have a landline phone, and that was 2009 to 2015 when I lived up there, and the people would not, man, they petitioned not to get them because scenic view.
The view.
You know, because you see mountains that are beautiful mountains, but then they're covered in towers.
The Vermont is
it's mountainous.
It's important to them.
It's a mountainous state. That's why the coverage is spotty, I'm sure.
Interesting coleslaw. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes, that's why the guy has got a business. Well, he's not in a business.
So do you think in Utah and Colorado, they have places where you just can't get cell service?
I do.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I bet if you looked at a map, you'd still be surprised how much.
Montana.
Black area as far as no services. Blacked out areas.
What percentage of the country do you think you can't use your cell phone?
Well, if you notice, they never say country. They always say population now.
Ah.
So, I you know, they'll say we have more... You know, 99 million people covered.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, so I think that's why, because I bet if you just looked at a map, yeah, some of your South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana still wouldn't be there.
And clearly Vermont, because that's where he's.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. If you go west of the Rockies, a lot of blank spaces.
Yeah.
Not many people, but you couldn't use a cell phone there.
But if you catch that little caveat in cell phone commercials, they'll say population.
Well, then maybe people in Montana and Colorado should do what this man's doing and start refurbishing payphones so that somebody has a chance to use them.
This guy's doing it for weird reasons.
I think he likes his phone to ring when somebody calls you.
Yeah. I think he's trying to meet women. Lonely women in Vermont.
You heard the man, Biggie. Does he sound like a creep?
He didn't sound crazy, too crazy to me.